The Mighty Angel is all about the second coming. Every aspect, everything he says, has something to do with what is going to occur, what the Lord Jesus is going to do at his coming. So that's one of the clues to some of these things that are kind of mysterious and people don't understand about the Mighty Angel. First of all, a lot of people think that he's just an angel. Some of the most popular prophecy experts will tell you, well, he's an angel. This isn't Christ, this is an angel. And the problem with that is that everything, every aspect of the angel is unique to the Lord Jesus Christ. His face shines like the sun. There's a rainbow over his head. He's clothed in the clouds. Jesus is coming on the clouds. He's coming with a rainbow. He says one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. He is going to conquer the sea, the Gentile nations. And he is going to conquer the land of Israel. And his voice is like that of a lion. Well, who else could that be but the Lion of Judah? And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ will be when he comes back. Yes, he's the Lamb of God. He'll always be the Lamb of God. But when he comes back, his role, his position, will be as the Lion of Judah. He'll come to rescue Israel. And he'll come to pass judgment on the enemies of God. He'll come to destroy the enemies of God that are trying to destroy Israel. He's going to come as the Lion of Judah. Now there's another thing you have to understand about this is that Jesus is not an angel. He's never been an angel. And it calls him the Mighty Angel. Now the finer point of this is that this certainly is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this individual that John sees is not Christ. He is an angel that is playing the role of Christ. And this event that John sees is not going to happen as he sees it. This is a symbolic event. But everything that this event talks about is going to happen. It's just like the woman of Revelation 12, the woman with the child. There's not really going to be a woman in the sky being chased around by a dragon. That's a symbolic picture of an event that it is going to happen. The woman is, of course, Israel. The child is, of course, Christ. In the point of Revelation 12, it talks about this interaction between Satan and the Antichrist in Israel. But it's a symbolic picture of an event that's really going to happen. Just like the Mighty Angel is a symbolic picture of an event that is really going to happen, and that event is the second coming of Christ. So that angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. But like an actor on a stage, that angel is basically playing the second coming. He's playing the role of the second coming. Now we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ because we see the same person, the same attributes, in Ezekiel. When Ezekiel sees the Lord on his throne, God Almighty on his throne, he has a rainbow over his head. His legs are glowing, are burning, just like the Mighty Angel. And he has a little scroll in his hand, just like the Mighty Angel. And the Mighty Angel takes the scroll just like Ezekiel takes the scroll. Or John takes the scroll. And the mighty angel tells him to eat it. And Ezekiel eats the scroll. And in his mouth it's as sweet as honey. But in his stomach it's bitter. Now what's that all about? Now I've seen a lot of commentaries on this little scroll. And most people get it wrong. There's very few people that connect it with the scroll that Ezekiel takes. When in fact it's exactly the same scroll. Most of the prophecies of the book of Ezekiel is about the second coming. It's about the last days. And when Ezekiel takes the scroll and eats this, it says it becomes very bitter. Just like the scroll that John takes. But it explains what this scroll is in Ezekiel. It says it's the prophecies to Israel and to the nations. And it's a scroll of judgments. So that tells you right there what the little scroll is. Some people say, well, it's the seven seal scroll that's open. No, it's not. It's a completely different scroll. The seven seal scroll is sealed up and it has to do with the mystery of God. But the little open scroll is open. God's promises to Israel, both of his blessings and his judgment, has always been opened. You know, you talk to the rabbis and they'll tell you about these things that God promises to do with Israel. He promises to send the Messiah. He promises to put them back in the land. He promises to make them an eternal kingdom. They understand these things. They're not a mystery. Now, the church is a complete mystery to Israel. They don't understand that at all. They don't agree with it. They don't like it. They're angry. They're bitter against the church. They consider Christians their worst enemies. A lot of Jewish people do. But they understand many of these promises that God gives to national Israel, to the nation of Israel as a people. That he'll give them the land. That the Messiah will come and reign. That's what this little open scroll is about. And they also understand the judgments on the nations around them. See, the little open scroll is not a secret. It's not a mystery. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he's also going to fulfill that. The mighty angel says, at the sound of the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished. What is the mystery of God? The mystery of God is Christ in the church. It's amazing how many prophecy so-called experts don't know this, don't get this. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, really. The Apostle Paul describes what the mystery of God does is in his letters. But a lot of people who present themselves as experts in prophecy don't even get this. They don't know what the mystery of God is. They don't have any idea. You know, because they're in the they're working under the false illusion of John Nelson Darby's dispensational eschatology. And that scrambles everything up. So you can't hardly even understand last day's prophecy as the Word of God teaches it. That's why they don't know what the mystery of God is that's finished at the seventh trumpet. They don't know what the seven seals are. They don't know what the little open scroll is. They don't know who the mighty angel is. They don't know what the seven churches are. And it just goes on and on and on. That's why they get so many of these things wrong. Because they bought into Darby's dispensational eschatology. The invisible return, which is nowhere in the Bible. The pre-tribulation rapture, which is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible contradicts both of those things. The church not being here during the tribulation, which is nowhere in the Bible. The rapture occurring at the seventh trumpet, which is in the Bible, which they completely deny. That's why they're so confused about this, and they confuse the church. The people in their congregations are confused. That's why they get so many of these things wrong, and they just don't get these things. But it also says that the little open scroll, he took it and it was sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. Why? Because when Jesus Christ comes, when he appears, he is going to fulfill all the promises, all the judgments, and everything that is in this little open scroll. All these things that God has been promising the Jews down through the centuries, through the prophets, beginning with Moses and all the way through Malachi. The Jewish people know about these promises. They're not secret. And remember, the mighty angel is all about what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. You know, the roar of the lion. It's the Lion of Judah coming back. The little open scroll. Christ is going to fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. Now, most people don't understand the sweetness of it and the bitterness of it. The prophets say when Christ returns, they will weep for him as one weeps for an only son. They will weep bitterly for him. Now, most people think that when Jesus returns and the Jews see him and come to faith in Christ, they're going to be dancing on the streets and dancing in the streets. It's going to be a joyous thing. You know, when I came to Christ, when you came to Christ, when people come to Christ, it is a joyous thing. It's a wonderful thing. It feels good. But that's not what's going to happen when Israel comes to faith in Christ. When they realize that the person they have been rejecting and been opposing and their ancestors have put to death really is the Messiah of Israel, really is their only Savior, really is their only hope, is the only one that can save them from the armies of the Antichrist. It's going to be a time of bitter weeping. It's going to be a time of shame. It says families are going to go out by themselves and weep by themselves. That says it's going to be, they're going to be ashamed of themselves. We see the same thing happen when Peter denied Christ. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And that's exactly what happened. When they put hands on Christ and took him in to the trial, to be tried, to Caiaphas. And Peter was outside, warming himself by the fire, and the little slave girl came by. And says, aren't you one of them? He says, no, I'm not. He denied him once. They asked him again, and he denied him a second time, and they asked him again, and he denied it a third time, and started swearing. And the Lord Jesus caught his eye and looked at him. And it said, Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's the same thing that will happen to Israel. When they see the Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds, and we see the resurrection and see the rapture, and like the rest of the world, they will understand exactly what had happened, exactly what this means. They're going to resist him. They're going to reject him to the very end until that moment when they see him on the clouds, and no one will be able to deny it. It says, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. They will look on him whom they have pierced. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Jewish nation. And they will weep for him bitterly, just like Peter wept. Peter was a type of Israel, weeping bitterly over what they had done. They had betrayed him. For thousands of years, the Lord had told him through the prophets that he's going to send someone like unto Moses. He's going to send the Messiah. You talk to any of the rabbis and they'll talk about the Messiah. They know about the Messiah. But they all reject Christ vociferously. Except here and there, a Jewish person will come to Christ. Those Messianic Jews. But Israel as a nation has rejected him. So that's what that little open scroll is all about. It's not just something general about the Word of God. Well, it's sweet, but then it becomes bitter when we realize, you know, what sinners we are. That's not the point here. The point is that little open scroll represents the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that coming means to Israel. What that coming means for the fulfillment of all the prophets. That open scroll which most of the religious Jews know about and accept. And when he comes, he's going to fulfill that. And they'll know that. And it will be a sweet time in a way because there's their Messiah. He's going to save him from the Antichrist, from the murderous armies of the beasts. But it's also going to be a time of bitter weeping. It's going to be like Peter. They're going to go out by themselves and weep bitterly over this whole thing. And the tears are going to flow. And they'll be brokenhearted. That's what the little open scroll is. It's sweet because there's a Messiah. It's bitter because now I realize what we did to him. That's the point. It was what. When Israel comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. Like Paul says, when the times of the Gentiles are finished, then all Israel will be saved. The seven seal scroll is all about the time of the Gentiles. It's a mystery scroll. The mystery of Christ in the church as preached through the prophets. That's another one that the Darby people get wrong. They think it's some kind of title deed or some kind of additional prophecies about this or that and the other. The mystery of God is those, as preached by the prophets, there are all those things in the Hebrew Scriptures, all those things in the Bible that prophesy of Christ in the church, that prophesy of the new covenant, that prophesy of the gospel. Paul talks about the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, that was hidden from ages past, but has been revealed to the church. The church knows about the mystery of God, but the world doesn't. That's what we're preaching, the mystery of God. But it's a mystery to the world. That's why the scroll is sealed. The Jews understand something about what the Bible says. That's a little open scroll. But they don't understand the mystery of God. They don't understand the new covenant. They don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand Jesus as the Passover lamb. They don't understand the cross. They don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand the church in the church age. They don't understand bringing Jews and Gentiles together in one body. They understand the little scroll, but they don't understand the seven seal scroll. It's sealed up. Only believers understand it. The only Jewish people that understand it are Jews that come to faith in Christ. I guess you can call them Messianic Jews. But they're really just Christians who happen to be Jewish. So you see these experts talking about the seven seal scroll. It's a title deed. No, it's not a title deed. It's the writings of the prophets. This mystery is explained to us by the mighty angel. He says when the seventh angel sounds at the point of being sounded, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to the prophets. The mystery of God is Christ in the church. It will be finished. Why will it be finished? Because every eye shall see him. It won't be a mystery anymore. Every single person, individual on the earth, when the Lord appears on the clouds and the resurrection and the rapture happen, they'll know exactly what that means. And the wicked will try to hide themselves and crawl into a hole somewhere because they know that the judgment is going to come. Those who have the mark of the beast, they'll know what that means for them too. They're in big trouble. But the Jews, who by and large won't take the mark of the beast because, you know, if you're an observant Jew, you don't get tattoos. That's what the mark of the beast is going to be. It's going to be a three pentagram tattoo, and they won't do that. So when Christ comes, unlike the billions and billions of people who have taken the mark of the beast, these religious Orthodox Jews will still be eligible for salvation. And when they see Jesus on the clouds as a people, they will come to faith in Christ. That's what this little open scroll is, that the mighty angel gives to John. And in that particular instance, John is acting as a Jewish person. He certainly is a Christian. He certainly is an apostle of the church. But in that particular instance, he's a Jewish person that emphasizes Jewishness. As a Jew, as stepping in for symbolically representing Israel, it'll be sweet to his mouth because there's the Messiah. But he'll be bitter to his stomach because we're ashamed for the way we treated him for 2,000 years. And just like the prophecy said, they'll weep for him with bitter weeping as for an only son. And I say they will come trembling to him in the last days. Trembling. This isn't like a conversion today, you know, where a person comes to Christ and it's a wonderful thing and they give their testimony and they're so happy and, you know, usually. But this is going to be something that's They're going to do through tears. They're going to do through they're going to be trembling. You know, when a person comes to Christ today, it's kind of, you know, they don't see Christ. You know, Jesus says, blessed are those who don't see me and yet believe. But when Israel comes to faith in Christ, they're going to see him. He's going to be right there sitting on the clouds in glory with his mighty angels. It's going to be big. It's going to be loud. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the resurrection. It's going to be the rapture. It's going to be a big show. When we come to Christ, it's not like that. You know, it's a still small voice that leads us to Christ. It's a personal thing. And when the Jewish people come to Christ, it says they're going to be come trembling. And they're going to weep bitterly. That's what the little open scroll is about.